Isaiah chapter 1. This morning, I want you to know that I have seen and heard not only your comments, but the comments of many Christians I have served with all over the Southeast concerning the condition of our nation. Church, our nation is in trouble. I did not have to pry an amen out. Our nation is in grave trouble. I'll concede with many of you and your statements that our country is in trouble. We're calling right wrong and calling wrong right. Now listen, we have two major political parties in our country. If you want to throw the independent in, we have three. But we have two major political parties in our country. On one side, we have a person who's running for the United States president who has blood all over their hands, and another one who is a socialist who wants to run our country the way Nazi Germany was run. On the other side of the aisle, we have a group of individuals who claim to have all the answers and can solve all the problems that this world has. We can fix it. We can do this and we can do that. And they've been elected time and time and time again and with nothing coming from it. No. Are we any better? I've gone through, I believe I counted, six different presidents. And I don't know that our country is in any greater physical, economical, and especially spiritual condition than we were back when I was born in 1970. As a matter of fact, I think we're worse. Church, let me give you just one quick example of how easy it is for our federal government to fix a problem. Now, we have a problem, and I had a problem this past week. My mother-in-law, who was my accountant, she called me, and Sharon, she let me know exactly how much I owe the federal government before April the 15th. Is it April 15th? I don't want to pay them before then. There we go. This is how easy it is. 48% of Americans pay taxes. 48%. That means 52% do not pay federal taxes. They don't. So that means 48% are paying for 100%. I don't know how, you know, what kind of math you're taking, whether you're taking old school math like I took or the new Common Core math, but it does not add it up. Sooner or later, we're going to run out of money. This is how easy we can fix the economic system in America. Y'all ready? A 2% national sales tax. A 2% national sales tax. Listen, Steve, guess how many people will be paying taxes then? 100%. No, really, listen, it's 113 or 14 or 120%. Because every person who buys anything in America, everybody, whether they're illegal or not, whether they're Syrian, Iranian, Iraqi, Cuban, Mexican, it doesn't matter who you are, if you buy anything in America, you pay the 2% national sales tax. How easy was that? Listen, the reason why our government does not want to do that is because we are slaves to our government. We are held in bondage by our government. It's nothing new. If you look in Scripture, now this is not going to be a political message. Don't think it's not. I'm getting ready to turn the page. Y'all calm down. If you look throughout Scripture, the Hebrew children were wanting to put Jesus on the throne and crown him right then because they thought that he was going to overthrow the Roman government. The Roman government was extremely oppressive. There has never been a time where a government has not been given a position of authority over the people that they have not oppressed the people. Never. You look at when Solomon died and Jeroboam and Rehoboam were taking the throne. Oppression. There has never been a time where a people have not been oppressed. Now, let me tell you how we can fix America. I just told you how we can, well, Brother Kyle, we can't do that flat tax or 2% national sales tax because we'll have to change the tax code. I think we ought to change the tax code. Well, listen, I know how we can fix America. Is anybody interested? I'm almost to the point. I'm almost to the resolve that nobody really wants it fixed. We like the calamity. We like the diversity. We like the everybody against everybody. We like it. Nobody really wants it fixed. Listen, including you Christians. You don't want it fixed because Scripture tells us how we can fix it. We can fix it, church, if it's not too late. There's been a line drawn. There's always been a line drawn with God. We can fix it if it's not too late. If we have not turned our backs so far on God that He's already started our demise, we can turn it back. Now, church, let me ask. Is this the first time in history where a nation has turned their back on God? Is it? Hey, listen, you can look at Europe and you can look at England and back in the days, the early 1900s, there were great fires of revival. Great fires of revival from men like Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and Charles Finney. You ask people from Britain now who those people are, and they can't even tell you who they are. What can we do? This isn't the first time we've seen our country or our country in national distress. What is it that we can do? We can remember. We can remember what God's Word's already said. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amaz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, heavens, and pay attention, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have raised children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's feeding trough, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. O sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, brood of evildoers, depraved children, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on Him. Now we ask a question. God says, why do you want more beatings? Why do you keep on rebelling? The whole head is hurt, and the whole heart is sick. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, no spot is uninjured. Wounds, whelps, festering sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities burn with fire. Before your very eyes, foreigners devour your fields, a desolation overthrown by foreigners. Daughter Zion is abandoned. Like a shelter in the vineyard, like a shack in the cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left just a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would resemble Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to instruction of our God. You people of Gomorrah. What are all your sacrifices to me? What are they? What are all your sacrifices to me, asked the Lord. I've had enough of your burnt offerings and rams and fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of bulls, lambs, or male goats. When you come to appear before me, you require this from who requires this from you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing useless offerings. I despise your incense, your new moons, your Sabbath, and calling on of solemn assemblies. I cannot stand iniquity with this festival. I hate your new moons and prescribed festivals. They have become a burden to me. I am tired of putting up with them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. This is God talking to His people. But there's more. Listen, I refuse to look at you even for your when you offer countless prayers. I will not listen. Listen to what? I won't listen to your prayers. Your hands are covered with blood. Now the good part of the scripture. Wash yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. Remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Seek justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Verse 18 is beautiful. Come, let us discuss this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they will be like wool. If, church, if only. Here's that word if again. Listen, wake up. Listen to me. If only you, not me, not this congregation, not Savannah, Georgia, not the state of Georgia, not America, if you are willing to be obedient, you will eat the good things of this land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I think Christians need to read this daily. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts right now during this time of the message. God, help us to see ourselves. Help us to see our church. Help us to see our city. Help us to see our state and our nation. God, if it's not too late, you've given us a way to turn this around. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves right now. And all God's children said, amen. Churches, we just read this scripture. How in the world can this be? How in the world can this be? Did you notice here that we're not talking about ordinary people that God was talking to? We're talking about God's chosen people. The Hebrew children had turned their backs on God, and they were in deep trouble. What in the world was these people's problems? I mean, that's what we look at, don't we? We look at these people, the Hebrew children, and we see, my heavens, they were blessed. They were in bondage. They were in deep Egyptian bondage. And God Himself sent a prophet, Moses, to deliver them from the oppressive hand of the Egyptians. He did mighty miracles in their sight. He did unbelievable things in their sight. Divided the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground. And we're not talking about 6 or 7 people. We're talking about 2 to 3 million people walked across dry ground in the middle of the night. But yet now we fast forward and we see these same people turning their back and being rebellious to God. How can it be? Church, all the Hebrew children had to do, all they had to do was to stay in God's will, was to follow His will and His way as He led them, following His commands. Now listen, that seems easy enough to us, doesn't it? God gives you an unbelievable, beautiful, and prosperous land, and all you have to do is listen to what He says. It's a no-brainer, right? So you would think. Don't we offer this same gift to our children? Listen, you can stay and live in my house with me. All you have to do is abide by my rules. And most of the time, they're not that oppressive. You can eat my food. You can drink my water. You can use my commode. I'm not going to make you dig a hole out back. You can use my commode. I'll even let you use the toilet paper. My toothbrush, my toothpaste. You can use my toothpaste. You can use all, have all the benefits. But you know, it never fails. Even with our children, they get to an age, and what do? I want to do things my way. My way. And sooner or later, the door is open and boop. Gotta go. You gotta go. Listen, we look at these Hebrew children and we think to ourselves, my heavens, I mean, they had an unbelievable gift. God, listen, God gave them this land. They had to march a lot of times and they had to put up a little bit of fight, but God moved before them. God fought the battle for them. And now we see them rebel. How in the world can this be? What a great offer. Church, what is it that God had against his people? What had they done? As we look back at the people and what the people had done, and we pay close attention and see if anything, we need to pay close attention and see if anything they have done resembles what America has done or is currently doing. Boy, we're going to have to study hard, aren't we? Verse 2 tells us in chapter 1 that God had children and those children rebelled against him. God gave us America. We call ourselves a Christian nation. Has America rebelled against God just the way the Hebrew children rebelled against God? Now remember, they're in big trouble. Number one, they rebelled. Secondly, listen, verse 3 tells us that Israel did not even know God, nor did they try to understand him. Didn't know him. How in the world can you live in a land that was provided for you by God and not know him? We look at the Hebrew children with content in our hearts saying, I just can't believe those people were so stubborn and so foolish. But can't we look at ourselves in the same way? How in the world can anybody live in the United States of America where you can freely go to just about any store and purchase a Bible? The Holy Word of God, 66 love letters from God Almighty to mankind, and say, listen, I can't believe those Hebrew children. Listen, we're probably going to be more in trouble than they were. Thirdly, listen, verse 4 tells us that the Hebrew children were full of iniquity. They were evildoers. They were depraved. They had abandoned the Lord, despised the Lord, and ultimately turned their backs on God himself. And did not believe God would destroy them. There were some in Jeremiah's day and Isaiah's day when God sent the prophets. And listen, nobody wanted to see a prophet come to town because a prophet meant something was getting ready to happen, and it was usually the hand of God. They'd come into town and say, listen, y'all got to turn. You're going to turn or God's going to destroy you. And the people in Judah and Jerusalem were throwing up their hands and saying, oh no, we're holy. We're God's chosen people. It's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen to us. Listen, we know the words of Kumbaya and Amazing Grace. We sing Amazing Grace every time we go to church. It's not going to happen to us. But it did. But it did. God made a promise. And listen to me. I don't know who in the world makes you promises in your life, but listen, you can take it to the bank. When God makes a promise, you can count on it. All the time. Church, does any of this that I just talked about here sound familiar to you? Listen, there's some stupid people in America, and they can say what they want to about this country and how this country was born. Listen, but we were born with the mindset of honoring God. America was born with the mindset of honoring God. Amen? Listen, It was not so long ago that this nation was a God-fearing nation with fires of revival were burning brightly, where coliseums were packed to capacity to hear the man of God preach the word of God, to see the power of the Holy Spirit of God fall. It wasn't very long ago churches were full on Sunday morning with people who wanted to learn about this holy God. There was a day, church, there was a day when God's people revered God's name, not blasphemed His name. Not today in America. Not too long ago. Church, the people of our nation have come to a point in time and history where they, just like the Hebrew children, are throwing up their hands in the air and asking God, what have we done to deserve this? What have we done to deserve everything that's taken place? Looking for a man, a person, to answer this question in a political arena. Thinking if only the right man wins the White House, all of our problems will be solved. When all they have to do is to look at the Word of God. Let me ask you, church, when you remove yourself from the house of God, when your spiritual appetite is full for the week after a Sunday morning sermon, when you steal from God by not giving Him what is rightfully your or His, and that's His tithe, when you do not long to have a meaningful relationship with the Creator of the universe by reading His instruction manual, the Bible, when you know you're more about sports teams and cars and hunting and fishing and a little fish named bass than you do about God, when you know more about how to match a shirt with a pair of shoes or where to buy the perfect hair color or lipstick, church, what is it that you think is going to happen to this nation? There are some of you in here who know more about the Atlanta Braves than you do the Word of God. There are some of you in here who know more about the velocity of your 308 with a scope than you knew about the Word of God. And you, listen, if somebody called you an infant Christian, you'd be defended. I've been going to church my whole life. Then why don't you know the Word of God? Why can't you defend the Word of God? And why aren't you standing boldly proclaiming the Word of God? Our world is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. Hey, church, listen. Let me bring it a little closer to home, can I? Let me bring it a little closer to home. The problem we have here in America does not lie outside the four walls of the church. We cannot point our finger at the lost world and say, they are the problem. The lost world has always been lost. America's big problem lies within the four walls of the church. We are the problem. Well, I'm not the problem. That's the problem. You won't admit that you're the problem. Listen, God has not changed, nor will He ever change. We, the churches, have changed. We are no longer shining the gospel light for the world to see. We've become a bunch of rebellious, scared, whining people who are too afraid of offending somebody to be what God wants us to be. Let me tell you something, church. I would rather offend every single person who's ever walked the face of this earth than to offend a holy and a righteous God for sitting down with my mouth shut, being quiet. Let them all be offended. Scripture says they're going to be offended. Blessed are you when men hate you and revile you and cast your name out as evil for my name's sake. Do you not realize, Christian, because you have branded yourself as a Christian, when you stand before a holy and a righteous God, and you will stand one day, and you've done nothing on this earth to spread His gospel, that you will give an account? You will give an account. Your lack of boldness, your lack of wanting to do something for the Lord, your appetite being full after Sunday morning, never to see you again during the week. We might not see you again for 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to have to stand and give account for that. What was the result of the Hebrew children's rebellion? Did y'all see that when we read that? Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. God says, why do you want more beatings? Why do you keep on rebelling? The whole heart is hurt. And the whole heart is sick. From the sole of the foot even to the head, no spot is uninjured. Wounds, welts, and festering sores, not cleansed, bandaged, or soothed withal. The nation was being punished, beaten, and disciplined. And God looks at them and says, why do you want more beatings? All you have to do is listen to me. All you have to do is follow me. All you have to do is do what I told you to do. I've given you everything that you have. Nothing you have belongs to you. It belongs to me. I've given it to you that you might be a blessing unto others, not a blessing unto yourself. But because you continue to do things your way, you continue to get beatings. Church, listen to me. How many people do you know? What? Why does God keep allowing this to happen to me? Why does it just keep happening? Oh, God! Are you in His house somewhere worshiping weekly? A couple times during the week? Hey, listen. When was the last time you gave God what is truly God's? Well, what about that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you in His Word? Are you studying His Word? I mean, do you long for the Word of God to be in your heart? Hey, listen, you cannot turn your back on God and expect God to bless you. Listen, when you turn your back on God, you can expect nothing less than what He's talking to with His chosen people, the Hebrew children. Well, listen, why do you want more beatings? Why? Don't expect blessings when you deserve beatings. Hey, listen, when my children rebelled against me and they came home and they'd done something, Jennifer, I mean, they'd gone and busted a window out or something, I didn't say, hey, come on in the house. Can I fix you what you want to eat for dinner? Hey, listen, I love you so much, and because you honored me, I went and I cleaned your bedroom and I washed all your clothes. Don't worry about the dishes in the sink. Listen, you just prop your feet up and watch what you want to on my TV. That's the craziest thing you ever heard of in your life, isn't it? Listen, if you don't spend time with God, the holy and a righteous God, why do you expect Him to bless you? Did you hear what He said a few minutes ago? He said, listen, I'm tired of hearing your prayers. What He's saying is, listen, if you're getting beat down and you're not coming back to me, just shut your mouth. I don't want to hear it anymore. I've given you a plan. I've given you a way to get out. If you're not out, it's not my fault. I haven't changed. You're the one who's changed. Somebody ought to be running right now. It's a perfect plan. Listen, verse 7 tells us that our land, that their land was desolate, most likely from drought. Verse 8 tells us that the cities were abandoned. No one had anything to sell, and if they had anything to sell, nobody had any money to buy it. Verse 9 tells us that there were only a few in the vast number who survived. 2 to 3 million came out of Egypt. A small number came, and they were still there, a remnant. Verse 11 tells us that God has reached a point where He is sick of the people's sacrifices. Verse 12 tells us that God is sick of seeing them come to His temple and said, why do you even bother? This morning, as you filed in the church this morning, with your self-righteous attitude, I wonder how many people walked in this door and God looked at you the way He's looked in His own Hebrew children. The Hebrew children says, why do you even bother? You're so far removed from me. You've moved yourself so far away from me. Why are you even bothering to come into my house? Verse 14 and 15 tell us that God had reached a point that He hated their festivals and no longer listened to their prayers.
What a sad day where God's people, God's people, God does not even want to listen to what comes out of your mouth. Listen, can I tell you something? What is in your heart comes out of your mouth. That's why some of you, you say filthy words and filthy things. Listen, it's because that's what's in your heart. Church, this is horrible. Not only have we seen the people of God turn their backs on God, but now we see God turning His back on His people. And this, is this sickening to any of y'all yet? Do I have your full attention now, church? Church, if we as a nation have not reached the point of rebellion that the Hebrew children had when God turned His back on them, I must tell you, I've got to tell you, listen to me, if we haven't reached that threshold, we're very close to it. We really are. You might be sitting here right now saying God won't destroy America the way He destroyed the Hebrew children. He won't destroy it. Need I remind you that we are nowhere in the book of Revelation. Nowhere. Unless we have lined up with somebody or they have lined up with us, we're gone. There's a church. There's a cure, church. Praise God, there's a cure. There's a cure. I remember in the 80s, the early 80s, the AIDS epidemic was just widespread over Africa. It had reached the shores of America, and it was spreading like wildfire because people could not harness their desires and their lust within one another, and it was spreading like wildfire. The medical community, everybody in the world were coming together trying to find a cure for what ailed the world with this AIDS epidemic. How horrible would it have been for me to have been born in 1970, had the medical knowledge in 1982 or 83 or 84 or 85 or even today to have the cure. The cure, all you have to do is drink pure tap water, eat sugar, throw flour up in the air, and catch it on your tongue, and you're healed from AIDS. That's not the cure. How terrible would it have been for myself or anybody, Dan, to have the cure and to watch people just become so emaciated, just shrivel up, look like skeletons on the bed and die? How horrible would I be to know the cure and never give it to people? How horrible would I be to be your pastor, to tell you all of this devastating news, to show you how America is lined up for failure and for destruction the same way the Hebrew children were, without giving you a cure? How terrible would I be if I didn't give you the cure? Here's the cure, church. God has always given His people a way to escape. Always has given His people a way to escape. He has always offered them protection. Church, God has never brought about punishment before He has warned of coming judgment. There's always been a remnant. Always been a remnant. What's the cure, church? What is it? What's the cure? Church, the cure is not for the multitude. It's for the individual. It's not for the multitude. It's for the individual. And if taken correctly, if absorbed correctly, the cure can have a great effect on the multitude. Well, Brother Kyle, Brother Kyle, Brother Kyle, Brother Kyle, well, what is it? What's the cure? What's the cure? Look at chapter 1, verse 16. Here it is right here. Listen. It's always been here. It's been right under our nose the entire time our country has been in existence. Why aren't these politicians who are running for president speaking about Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16? What's the cure? Wash yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Seek justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Verse 18. Come, let us discuss this, says the Lord. Hey, listen, if you're going to have a discussion with God, you've got to come to God. He's saying, listen, there needs to be a come to Jesus meeting. Here we are. This is a come to Jesus meeting. He says, come, let us discuss this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be made white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they will be made like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will most definitely be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Did the Hebrew children listen? Did they listen? Are there any signs that America is listening? Hey, listen, I'm having a hard time as a pastor because I told y'all last week, I'm not seeing any signs. I'm seeing very little signs of any preacher standing in the pulpit telling people to listen. Preaching messages, like I said last week, how to love a person who loves trees isn't going to get the job done. Church, do you really want to make America great again? Have y'all heard that theme? I'm going to make America great again! Do you really want to make America great? I'm under the conclusion, nobody cares anymore. Take your flags down. Quit saying God bless America. Because actions speak louder than words. Do you hear me? There was a time in my life where there was a person that I just loved. I loved so much. And they kept failing and kept failing and kept failing. And they would come to me and Mark, they would say, listen, I'm sorry, I love you. I'm sorry, I love you. I'm sorry, I love you. And finally I looked at him, I said, quit telling me and start showing me. Would be to God that Christians, listen, shut your mouths. Quit telling God you love Him. Show Him. Show Him you love Him. Do you really want to make America great again? If your answer is yes, then fix you. If your answer is yes, I want America to be great again. If we haven't crossed that threshold, if we haven't crossed the line, we haven't been as rebellious as the Hebrew children were, where God has finally turned His back on us, and we still can be fixed, the way we start fixing America is you've got to fix you. What is it the 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The last question I have for you this morning is, will you humble yourself and seek the face of God to make our nation great once again? Church, I'm praying that God will allow one last great revival to break out across this land. And the only way we'll ever see revival if we humble ourselves and seek the face of God. Will you do that today? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father and God in heaven, let us right now not tell you that we love you. Let our actions during this invitation show you the love that we have for you and the desire that we have for you to make our nation great again, not through any man, but through us. Lord, bring us to our knees that we might raise you to your accolations that you deserve. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? The altar's open.